Today's Shir, Mishnah Berurah Yomi, is once again a very, very detailed, complex sif. And this is going to just be discussing a situation where, we're up to sif Yedalet and Siman Tav Samach Zayin, and it's going to be dealing with a situation in which a grain kernel, which displays signs of having become chametz, is discovered inside a salted chicken. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss the status of the chicken, as well as of other chickens which were salted together with the chicken that contained the kernel. So the following principles are going to be relevant to understanding this sif. We need to understand what the principle of malicha is, salting. We need to understand the concept of ein balua yotze mechaticha lechaticha bali rotev, and the minhag Ashkenaz regarding fatty and lean foods. So let's see. This will help us tremendously when it comes to understanding this sif. So malicha. So the salting process causes certain changes in the item being salted. As a result, a salted food is considered tantamount to hot food in terms of its ability to impart taste to other foods that are salted with it, or that come into contact with it while it is still salted. Taste imparted by a salted food penetrates to the depth of what's called kedei klipa, as opposed to what we've termed kedei netila. Kedei klipa is where it's just the peel, the thinnest amount that is thick enough to be removed as one whole layer, as opposed to kedei netila, which is the size of a thumb. Therefore, in such a case, if one performs klipa, peeling to the permitted food, by discarding the layer peeled off, so then the remainder of the item is going to be permitted. This is what happens if it imparted taste based on malicha. Now, what happens if the usher food is a fatty food? Then its taste penetrates the entire piece of food with which it comes into contact. And therefore, when a usher fatty food is salted together with a permitted food item, the entire permitted item is rendered usher for consumption unless it contains a ratio of shishim against the volume of the prohibited food. Then, as we said, it's important to understand the principle of ein balua yotzei mechaticha lechaticha bali rotev. That absorbed taste does not leave the piece in which it is absorbed and enter into another piece without any liquid. As a general rule, usher taste, which has been absorbed within a solid food, will not leave that item unless the item is cooked in liquid. So salting an item does not cause it to expel the taste absorbed inside of it, though it does cause it to expel its own tam. So, for example, if a piece of meat which had absorbed usher taste subsequently came into contact with another piece of meat while still salty, no tam, no taste, is transferred from the first to the second piece, which therefore remains permitted. This principle is also relevant in a situation in which an usher food item was salted together with a number of permitted items. Only those items which directly touched the usher food item are considered usher. Food items which do not directly touch the usher food item do not become usher to eat, even if they touch items which have absorbed usher tam. This is because absorbed tam does not spread from one item to another without liquid. Now, according to many Rishonim, tam received from a fatty food is an exception to this rule and will spread from one item to another even without liquid. This is the view of the Rashba and others quoted in Yerodeya. And the view of the Maharam is that even absorbed fatty taste does not spread from one piece to another without liquid, and poskim acholek what the final psak of the Shulchan Aruch is in this regard. The Ramah paskins in accordance with the view of the Rashba that taste received from a fatty item is an exception to the rule and will spread from one item to another even without liquid. So according to this view, which happens to be the approach of the Ramah, and based on the Rashba, a piece of usher fat which was salted together with a number of pieces of meat will render all of the pieces of meat usher, even though pieces which definitely did not come into contact with the usher fatty food since the fatty taste will spread from one piece of meat to another. Now, if the pieces of meat contain even jointly a ratio of shishim against the other food, so they will become, and they will all be permitted. Finally, the Ashkenazic custom regarding fatty and lean foods. So the Ramah, in Yerdea, Kufhei, Siftes, and also Sifhei, and Sadi Aleph Hei, there in Yerdea states that nowadays we are no longer proficient at identifying which foods are fatty and which are lean. Therefore, as a general rule, we act stringently with Machmir and consider all foods fatty. And therefore, accordingly, the taste of even a seemingly lean, salted, usher food item will penetrate the entire piece of permitted food salted together with it. Now, with regard to a permitted item that absorbed taste from an usher item, however, Shach makes a distinction, and Ayin Shum in the Yerdea there, Kuf Hei Sifkatan Yud Ches in the Shach. We now begin Sif Yidalid with its intro. We should be able to make headway. And once again, we will probably be doing 2 days of Yomi here together. Here goes. Sif Yidalid. In Nimsei Schita Mivukas, the Tarnagolas, Kodim Malicha, Dai Bishtifa. If a cracked wheat kernel was discovered in a chicken before salting, Dai Bishtifa Ve'im Achar Malicha, Dai Beklipa. So if a cracked wheat kernel was discovered in a chicken before salting, rinsing the chicken is going to be sufficient. But if it was discovered after salting, rinsing will not suffice, but it is sufficient, though, to perform klipa. Kedei klipa is aser, and therefore you just peel it. However, the Shulchan Aruch goes on, the Yesh Machmirin Leimar Shemamik Kol Siosea V'toch Choteich Uman U Mashlech. That what one should do is you have to, in Machmir, and they say that one has to dig deeply all around the kernel and cut out the flesh and discard it. And the Shulchan Aruch ends off with, if other chickens were salted with the kernel, then kolef es kulam, one should do klipa to all of them. So let's see the Mishnah Brura on all of this. Sif katan samich ches. Chita mevukas. Mishnah Brura says, ayein beber halacha, will be done shayach ze asif, afil binisracha chalavad. So Ber Halacha points out that according to our minhag, as you know, in Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, this sif is applicable even if the kernel had only softened, and lav dafka where the kernel was cracked. Because you remember, Ramah had paskin that when you're dealing with a cooked dish and you discover a grain kernel, so the Shulchan Aruch had said it's also only if it was actually cracked, and the Ramah, on the other hand, said that the accepted minhag is that even if the kernel is close to cracking, it renders the cooked dish usser. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that even if the kernel had merely softened, we must suspect that it is close to cracking. Now, the Shulchan Aruch here is consistent with his view. In Sif Tes, he speaks of a cracked kernel. A softened kernel ever would not render the chicken usser. But the Mishnah Berurah is referring here to the Ber Halacha, where he concludes that according to our minhag, the minhag recorded by the Ramah, everything that's discussed here applies also if the kernel has merely softened as well. That's an important point, and I'm glad we spelled it all out. Sifkat samchtes, dai bishkifa. So he said if a cracked wheat kernel, or according to us, a softened wheat kernel was discovered in a chicken before salting, then rinsing the chicken is sufficient. Mr. Brewer explains, it's saying, that's because cold items without liquid do not render one another usser according to all opinions, as we mentioned above. Now, afilu im hudach hatanagoles. Even if the chicken was rinsed, bikomakom kevan shelo haisa shruya achita b'mayim eino oseres. Nevertheless, since the wheat kernel was not soaked in water, does not render the chicken aser. Bikomakom adacha bay. Nevertheless, the chicken has to be rinsed. Eino l'smoch al adacha she medicho achar amlicha. And one should not rely on the rinsing, which one does after the salting, meaning as part of the malicha procedure, one rinses the meat both before and after salting. So if a kernel was discovered in a chicken after the first rinsing prior to malicha, one should not rely upon the fact that one will anyway rinse the chicken after the salting. Rather, one should rinse the chicken prior to malicha. And the source for this actually is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who explains that if the chametz residue is not rinsed off before the melicha is performed, it's possible the melicha will cause the chametz residue to be absorbed by the meat. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Baal Tanya, also writes that if the kernel was found before the initial rinsing that was done as part of the melicha procedure, that rinsing can be assumed to remove the chametz residue as well. This is all pointed out in the Shar HaTziyun over here. Sif Katan. Ayin, Dai Beklifa. So, Shulchan Aruch had said that if the kernel, this cracked or softened kernel, was discovered after salting, then rinsing does not suffice, but what is sufficient and required is klipa, is peeling. And he points out, Mishnah Berurah Ayin, when we call makom klipa bai afshud sonin, he says, klipa is required even though it is cold. Why? Because we have a principle, the kainalon meliach harehu kiroteach. As of course, we have a principle that a salted item is the equivalent of a hot item. And the wheat kernel's moisture will therefore be absorbed by the chicken's flesh to the depth of a kedei klipa of a klipa. When we call makom kol zeg eshenimta ba'od shemelech alav. However, all of this is only if the kernel was discovered while the salt was still on the chicken. However, if it was discovered after it has been salted and rinsed, then we say that it fell onto the chicken just now, and it's sufficient merely to rinse it off. I said, had it indeed been on the chicken earlier, it would have fallen off during the rinsing when the meat was rinsed with water. However, he says, however, this is only if the kernel was discovered on the exterior of the chicken. If, however, it was discovered inside the chicken, it can be assumed to have been there even, right, to have been there earlier, even at the time of the melicha, after shas melicha. It did not fall out during the rinsing. Why? Why is it assumed to have been there earlier, even at the time of the melicha? Because it did not fall out during the rinsing because it was blocked by the underside of the chicken. Now, continue on, weiter. Sif katat ayin aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, yesh machmirin, there are those that are machmir, that hold that one must dig deeply all around the kernel and cut out the flesh and discard it. What does this all mean? Wrote Salomar, Sivkat Nayan Aleph, the lo kidei arishona sagi liklof habasar v'neged mekom achita bulvad. That means that as opposed to the first opinion, which maintains that it is sufficient to perform klifa to the meat, and the klifa required only next to the location of the kernel, ela shemamik v'chol siyoseha v'chote. Rather, according to this view, one must dig deeply all around the kernel and then cut out the entire area surrounding it. Vatam, what's the reason? Dehoil b'pesach isuro b'mashu. The reason is that since on Pesach, chametz asks other food with even a mashu, a minute amount, amrinan shemispashek mashu b'chol tziyoseh shel makom achita. We say that a minimum amount of chametz taste spreads all around the location of the wheat kernel. And this view maintains that taste imparted via melicha actually penetrates deeper than kidei klipa, reaching the entire surroundings of the kernel. However, the tam, which penetrates past kidei klipa, is a minimal amount, which is normally batel in a ratio of shishin. But when it comes to chametz on Pesach, however, which does not become batel, the entire surrounding area of the kernel will become usser. We move weiter. Sif katan ayin days. The Shulchan Aruch had said that if other chickens were salted with the kernel, one should do klipa to all of them. And he says, Mr. Brura, umayri kishenis ayin beis, umayri kishenimtza achita ala tarnagolas. He says, this is discussing a case where the wheat kernel was discovered on the outside surface of the chicken. There is therefore reason to be concerned that the wheat kernel may have touched all of the chickens. About imnimtza tocha tarnagolas, however, if it was discovered inside the chicken, then ein acheros richin klipa, then the others do not require klipa. Since the kernel was discovered inside the chicken, it certainly could not have touched the other chickens. The tam absorbed within the chicken does not transfer to the other chickens, since, as we said in our introduction, absorbed taste, absorbed tam, does not transfer from one piece to another without liquid. comes the Ramah now and says, "V'yesh machmirim le'esor kol ma shenimlach biyachad." Comes the Ramah and he says, "No, that there are those to the Ramachmir even to aser everything that was salted together." What's the basis of this yesh machmirim? Mishum da ana machmirim le'esor b'chol isurim b'melicha b'shishim mishum de lo bekiim bein iser kachush le'shamei. So as we said in our intro, this is based on what we said that we are machmir and say that all aser items, aser other foods through salting at a ratio of less than shishim, because we cannot tell the difference between lean and fatty. In other words, we assume that transmits through the entirety of the item unless there is shishim. Now, as we explained earlier, according to the actual halacha, taste imparted from a usser fatty food permeates the entire depth of an item which it enters and renders it completely usser unless there is a ratio of shishim. However, again, as we explained before, from the Ramah in Yerdeya, Kuf Hei, Sifim Hei, and Tes, he writes that we are not proficient at identifying which items are considered fatty and which are considered lean, and therefore we are machmir when it comes to other isurim, even with isurim besides chametz, even with lean foods, and presume that the taste spreads, the tam spreads through the entire item. Therefore, the food is usser unless there is a ratio of shishim. This is all spelled out in the Sharetzim very clearly. And now the Mishnah Berurah continues on. In Kain, Mimela Mechametz the Isuro B'Mashu Nami Oser B'Kulam. So he says like this, that once again, we have to clearly presume that the taste has spread through the entire item, right? Alma Nispashe B'Kulo. And in Kain, Mimela Mechametz the Isuro B'Mashu Nami Oser B'Kulam. And if so, it automatically follows that regarding chametz, whose iser is with even a minute amount of chametz, that it will also aser everything. So normally, it's only going to aser if it doesn't have shishim. But here by chametz, if you apply this chumrah and say that all aser items aser other foods through salting, because we can't distinguish between lean and fatty, so then we have to assume the taste spreads. And when it comes to chametz, we can't even rely on shishim. Now, what he's basically saying is that in the same manner that with other usser foods, we presume that the usser food taste penetrates the entire item, requiring a ratio of shishim, similarly with regard to chametz, we have to presume that the tam penetrates the entire item. And since tam imparted by chametz doesn't become batel, it's not batel lim b'mashu, so the entire piece, according to this chumrah here, would become aser, even if it contains a ratio of shishim. Now, the truth is, this explanation accounts only for the entire chicken becoming aser. It does not account for why this opinion holds that all of the chickens become aser, because we have a principle that taste does not spread from one piece to another without liquid. So the Baraga explains that this is because the concern that any or all of the chickens may have touched the kernel. Other Achronim explain that this is also because of the same chumrah, as we mentioned in the introduction, that we treat all food items as if they were fatty, and that taste that originates in a fatty item does indeed spread from one piece to another, even without liquid. This opinion is interpreted by Zachronim, and it does not differentiate between chametz and other categories of iser. That is, although the Ramah goes on to cite a more makel opinion, which is based on possible distinctions between chametz and other isurim, this more chumer opinion right now rejects the upcoming distinctions that we will soon see. We now move on in the Ramah, where he says, "Avala ikur leesa osa kula osa chaticha kula shenimseis hachita alea ulahatir hacheros al yedei klipa ksas." He then goes on to say that the ikur essential halacha is not to go ahead and aser everything that was salted together, but rather it's to aser the entire piece upon which the wheat kernel was discovered, and to permit the others with a slight klipa. And he goes on to say that imrotza yuchal limkor hakol in a Yehudi, if one wishes, one can sell all the chickens to a non-Jew, as is explained, he says, in his portion of Zayir, the Siman Tafem Zayin, Sif Aleph, like we said in Tafem Zayin, Sif Aleph, Even though Afagav they know I can gain b'shatar over chametz, even though this is not accepted minhag to do with other mixtures of chametz, and he says kain nira li, so it seems to me. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura's on this sif katan ayin dalid. He says as follows: aval ha ikar. However, the ikar essential halacha is to asa the entire piece upon which the wheat kernel was discovered. Right, that's what we saw, and to permit the others with a slight klipa. What's the idea? Mishum the sphere lay the lower mean of the Easter mashu shoot rabbanon sheyotzei mechaticha lechaticha al yedei melicha b'chomei shu tachosh. Meaning this, because this view maintained that we did not say regarding the iser of a minute amount of chametz, which is merely the rabbanon, that the tam of lean chametz spreads from one piece to another through salting. Only regarding rak b'shir shishim hechmiru lasor mechaticha lechaticha af b'tachosh below b'mashu. Only regarding the ratio of shishim, where the poskim machmir to aser a concern of tam exuding from one piece to another, even in the case of a lean food, but not with a minute amount of chametz that asers even at a ratio of shishim. The ode, the dafka b'iser sheshayach bo shamnunis misharinan b'kachush af b'shishim mishum de'ein anu b'kiyim bein kachush l'shman bein kachush l'shamein v'yaminin de'mefa'feya ad shishim. And also, furthermore, only with regard to such a usher food that can sometimes be fatty, do we measure with a ratio of shishim, even with a lean item, because we're not proficient at differentiating between lean and fatty. We therefore say, he goes on, that the iser taste penetrate up to a ratio of shishim. Masha enkein b'iser chametz delo shayich bo fifua kla. This is inapplicable to the iser of chametz, where penetrating is not possible at all. V'dayenu im nachmir le'osor osa chaticha kula, and is therefore sufficient for us to be machmir and to aser that piece entirely, but permit the other pieces by performing klipa. We then move weiter. Sifkatan ayin hey al yedei klipa tzas v'hainu ba'ofen sheyesh l'sapek shema naga hachita gam bahen. This applies only if there is reason to suspect that the wheat kernel may have also touched the other pieces. Kanoim le'el b'sifkatan ayin beis, as mentioned above in sifkatan ayin beis. Now, af im yadinan bevadei shelo naga ela be'achad mehem v'lo yadinan be'ezah naga kulan tunin klifa. Now, even if we know with certainty that it only touched one of them, and we did not know which one it touched, they all require klifa. Why? Because chametz on Pesach does not become batal by a majority, as we stated in Tuf Mem Zayin Sif Tes. Siman Tuf Mem Zayin Sif Tes. Vim nisbashu b'li klipa oiseret tarusan. If they were cooked without klipa, then the chametz taste renders their mixture prohibited. Okay. Again, we're talking about the bittel b'rog. We're talking about the pieces. Okay, that we don't know which one is usher. That's a yavish b'yavish type of bittel b'ro that normally we would apply, but we don't apply that on Pesach. We move weiter, ayin vav. So he then says at the end, v'imrotze yuchal l'mkor hakol l'eino yehudi. If one wishes, he can sell all the chickens to a non-Jew. Mishnah Brura sif katan ayin vav. He says, ayin dalio rabba. See Elio Rabba, whose opinion is that Rama refers only here to the other pieces. That is, the pieces which did not themselves contain the kernel, but might have been in contact with the kernel. Since these pieces have not definitely absorbed chametz taste, that's when one can be makel to sell them to a non-Jew without performing klipa. However, he says, "Aval osa chaticha shenimtzei salei achita ein lahatir l'machir l'das haga l'el l'sif yud." He says, however, regarding that piece on which the wheat kernel was found, we would not permit selling it, according to the Rama above in Sif Yud. Right? Since this piece has definitely not absorbed chametz, we have to be machmir. In the same manner, the Rama back in Sif Yud asks selling a cooked dish which has absorbed chametz taste to a non-Jew. And the implication, he goes on, of the other Achronim, he maintains, he goes on, Mishar Achronim Mashma, the Kashahu Rak al Yede Malicha, Mikalina Mkor Afilo Osakaticha. The Rak Sheiklos Tchila Min Abasar, the Mokon Sheminseis Alav Hachita. So the implication of the other Achronim, however, is that in this case, where only salting has caused the taste to spread, we can be Mekel even to sell that piece, as long as one first performs Kipa of the meat in the area where the kernel was discovered. Since, the idea being here, since according to the basic halacha, only kidei klipa adjacent to the kernel becomes aser, and asering the entire piece is a mere chumra, as opposed to when it's like cooking, one can be makel to sell the rest of the piece to a non-Jew. That's how these other achronim learn. Sif katan ayin zayin. So he says you could sell it. Imrotza yuchal umkar hakol la'ino yehudi. La'akum ayin zayin. Ayin b'tash kasav she. He says, check out the Taz, who writes that he passed it as far as halacha l'maisa, that similarly it is permitted to retain other pieces in one's possession until after Pesach, since it is only a case of safik as to whether they touched the kernel, safik negia. One may even keep the original piece over Pesach. Rak shevot tzarech l'chol b'tchila mikom achita. However, he says, a person, if he wants to keep even the original piece, he should perform klipa to the location of the wheat kernel. However, the words of the Magen Avraham imply that his opinion is in accordance with the view of the Rama, the osa achaticha asura lashos, that it's also to keep that piece in one's possession. It would seem that if the kernel has merely become softened, but has not cracked, one can rely on the opinion of Taz, and so too the Chok Yaakov agrees with the opinion of the Taz. Finally, Sif Katan Ayin Ches, which is a nice, big, long Sif Katan, and he says, it's a total sofer when it says, Kimoshin is Bar, Simon Taf Mem Zion beforehand, but Tzorach Lomar as follows. You have to, the Ramah should first read, Afal Gav De'ein Noagin Kein B'Shar Tarovus Chavetz, Kimo She Nizbayer Simon Taf Mem Zion Sif Aleph. That even though the accepted minhag is not to do so with other mixtures of Chametz, as is explained in Taf Mem Zion Sif Aleph. And he says that the explanation, Uperusho, the explanation of this statement is, Disham Mevor Delblias Mashu Chametz. The explanation of this statement is that there it is explained that an item which has absorbed even a minute amount of chametz taste cannot be sold to a non-Jew even after redeeming the value of the chametz. And can b'melicha mekelinin b'zeh. However, here in the case of a minute amount of chametz taste absorbed via salting melicha, there we are Makel regarding this. And he points out the da, one should note, the kol zeh, the makel Ramah, the chatichah zacheres, ayidei klipa, ayidei mechir la'akum, all of this that the Ramah is makel with regard to the other pieces, permitting them by removal of klipa or by selling them to a non-Jew. Tafke, shenim tzachita al basar, meluach le'esa malicha, o achar malicha v'adacha. It is, applies only if the wheat kernel was discovered on salted meat during the malicha, or if after salting and rinsing the meat, it was salted again for cooking, and the wheat kernel was found on the meat without the kernel being submerged in the brine, right? That's what he states here, right? O achar malicha v'adacha u'mochol pamshen is l'kedera v'matzu achita al-abasa b'lotzir. Aval, he says, however, im nimsa achita b'toch chatzir, however, regarding if the wheat kernel was discovered submerged in the brine, then not so fast, Shlodowski, not so fast. Oz chashiv hakol kimevushal, right? Avol nintza achita betoch hatzir, oz chashiv hakol kimevushal. If the wheat kernel was discovered submerged in the brine, then everything is considered as if it was cooked together with the kernel, for within the b'shir muvet havi kavush al yidei hatzir, because within a short amount of time, an item attains the status of kavush, soaked because of the brine. In this case, everything within the brine would be usher and would have to be
eradicated, Bior has to get destroyed. However, regarding that which is situated above the level of the brine, one should do as the Ramah writes. We don't say regarding tzir, brine, that the tam penetrates upwards. Or what one can do is keep it until after Pesach, like we said above, regarding the opinion of the Taz. Similarly, if a wheat kernel was discovered resting in a barrel of salted cabbage, the entire barrel is usher because something soaked, kavish, is viewed as cooked with regard to its ability to impart taste. However, this applies only if the brine rises above the cabbage, because if the brine does not rise above it, it's subject to the halacha. Havalei din melicha v'alma. It's subject to the halacha of mere salting, and it's halacha that dino kenar el b'sif katan ayin vav v'ayin zayin. And the halacha is like we mentioned in ayin vav and ayin zayin. It goes as follows: im nishar ma'at shechar v'chli v'natlo b'socho mayim v'adichu v'en basar achar melicha aso v'pesach. If a little beer remained in a kli and water was placed into it and then used to rinse meat with it on Pesach after its salting, that's Chachok Yaakov Geish Lahatir Abasar Af Pelo Klipa Meikar Adin. Chachok Yaakov says it we could permit the meat even without klipa according to the Ikar Halacha. Why? Sh'av Shamayin Nesri Machmas HaShechash Nesar B'Sochem. Even though the water becomes also due to the beer which became mixed with it, nevertheless, we call Makam Abasar Lobala Klumi Mayim Malalu Kevin Shuhu Sonin. Nevertheless, the meat did not absorb any of the water since it is still cold, kevan shu tzonin, the afal pisha basay meluach hadayim b'shah shedichav amliach hu kiroi zeach, and even though, although the meat was still salty at the time that it was rinsed, and a salted item absorbs taste from a liquid in the same manner as a hot item, right, v'amliach hu kiroi zeach, mikol makom lo bala klum min hamayin, nevertheless it did not absorb any of the water. Why? The fisha mayim shedichu behem mevabdin koyach hamelach v'ein lo koyach avliach hamayim b'basa. This is because the water which the meat was rinsed negates the power of the salt, and therefore the salt does not have the strength to cause the water to become absorbed in the meat. However, because of the severity of the Yisra of Chametz on Pesach, one should perform klipa on a thin layer of the meat in the place where this water touched it. However, the opinion of the Chayyadim is that according to the Iker Halacha, the strict Halacha, the meat does require klifa since there are cracks in it. And this sack applies even if the meat was not salted at all.